My number five, I'm stuck in the early 80s. I don't know why. Back to... but this a different album this time. This one's from Dada.
Oh, okay.
83, last album before he sobered up for the final time.
Okay.
Should I guess it, or is that getting annoying?
You can try and guess it, but you're not...
please.
You haven't been very good at it so far.
I'm the best guesser ever. Okay, so we've already established this is not I Love America.
Right.
Formerly Warmer.
No.
Almost made my list.
No, yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Formerly Warmer.
Pass the gun around.
No.
How many songs about necrophilia has he written?
A good handful. Though that one's not.
No, it's not. No?
That's about sort of the old demented uncle that lives up in the attic. Well, brother, I think.
Yeah.
Not Dada.
No, that's...
Yeah, yeah, barely a song.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what's the fun song on that album that's not I Love America?
Just because... I picked other fun songs doesn't mean all my songs have to be fun.
Well, they should be.
Well, Fresh Blood?
Almost. I almost had Fresh Blood on my list, but it's not. This is Scarlet and Sheba, which is a fun one.
It's a sexy one.
It is. It's, yeah, I like it, and I like it. That's why it's on my list. Why do I even feel
do you
to
enjoy
state
this
that
song,
I like
Annie?
It? Yeah, this is another one. He doesn't really have any recollection of recording anything from this album. At all. God. And it's the last album that Bob Ezrin produced for him before last year.
Wow.
Big gap in them working together. Yeah. What is there to say about Scarlet and Sheba?
We can say I've never heard it. I don't know this one.
But, don't know this one? Okay.
No. I'm curious.
It's a fun one.
It's a different sounding song.
Yeah.
You're going to be surprised by how this one sounds.
Very
it's
different.
Kind of, yeah.
A lot of stuff on Dada is just very unique.
It's really out there. Yeah. The album Dada is just, it doesn't really fit in the new wave period. It's like, it's kind of the last one of those, but it doesn't really fit in that period because it's so erratic.
Yeah.
It jumps all over the map and,
and
it all feels like Alice, but doesn't at the same time.
Yeah. And he like mainly like drum machines and stuff, not a lot of live or actual, you know, drummers involved.
Not a lot of actual drummers.
I don't. I'm not. Yeah.
I got you.
Okay.
I understand.
As long as someone understands, that's all I ask.
Well, let's hear it. This is Amy's number five, Scarlet and Sheba?
Sheba.
Yeah.
Sheba.
Scarlet and Sheba.
All right.
Number five. Thank you.
And then it just cuts off just like that.
Ah, what?
Well, it fades into the next song on the album.
That's what I figured.
But yeah.
See, there's a couple like that, too. There was a few, to be honest, that I was kind of fussing and fighting with. I don't know if she maybe have... I don't know if she may have on her list coming up, but in particular, Devil's Food and Black Widow from the Welcome My Nightmare album are great, but you kind of have to listen to them together.
Right.
You can't really separate them because they're kind of one long song with an awesome Vincent Price in the middle.
Yeah. That.
Which, again, I mean, where is a Thriller? Like 1983?
Yeah.
And here we're talking about 1975, and Alice Cooper's got Vincent Price chit-chatting on his album.
Yeah. And then for the...
Way predating Mikey.
From
Mikey.
I can't talk. It's contagious now.
My rambling.
From the Inside tour, he had Vincent Price did a speaking part that was to introduce the beginning of the show.
Awesome.
So he used him a few times, and Michael Jackson said, hey,
that's a good idea. Why don't I take that and make it the most profitable album of all time?
So was he actually influenced by it? That's why he has him on there? Well,
I don't know.
Could have been influenced.
Can only assume.
I would, yeah. How could you not?
Yeah. It's true.
It's like the same.
And Welcome My Nightmare was huge.
Vincent Price has some general awesomeness.
From the Inside was kind of small, but Nightmare was a huge album. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
That's true. Even I knew that one.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Matt, what's your number four?
Oh, but so I was rambling. There's a few songs like that. Even Roses on White Lace that I played a few minutes ago, Gail leads so directly into that I almost didn't play it because I would have wanted to play them all together.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tough. It's similar. Tough, sometimes you just get cut off.
Yeah.
At the end.
But everyone understands that, though. No one's going like, hey, what happened?
Why did the song end?
It's stupid. Matt Dinah, what's your number four?
My number four, we're going to the 2000s here now.
Ooh.
No, I'm kidding, actually. we're going classic again.
He lied earlier.
This is another one that, it's a nice medium rock groove. It's a groove.
Medium.
Medium, yeah. It's at a medium pace.
You're really selling this song. The song is it's average.
It's, you know,
I give it a C+.
I mean more that it's kind of mellow, medium pace. Not
I gotcha.
Not medium awesomeness. It's 100% awesomeness. It's
play just Alice Cooper at a medium pace.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. What is this?
So this is a song like the greatest hits album. As strange as it is, that's one that I had earlier than a lot of other albums. And so the Alice Cooper's greatest hits, which if you're looking for a place to dive in, that's a good start.
Yeah.
Because so many of the albums, like you've got the more easy to swallow tracks, the populist tracks, if you will. And then you've got crazy shit like Halo the Flies mixed in.
Yeah.
And so if you listen to just Killer, you'll be like, oh, that song's great, or that song's great. And then something else comes up and ooh.
Stuff that's more of an acquired taste.
But Alice Cooper's greatest hits is straight across the board, like 10, 11, 12. I don't even know how many tracks right off the top of my head. But every song is awesome.
Are they great?
They're all great. And they're the greatest hits.
They're the greatest.
Apparently. Not according to you. But
like the soundtrack of my middle school years, you know. I still like just call people up and sing this song just for the fun of singing this song, you know.
Okay.
Best phone call ever received.
I'm not even kidding. As stupid as it sounds, like eighth grade, I would just like call people up and be like, sing and be my lover.
Oh.
Because it's just that cool.
Is this another steal?
Okay, that one. No, I thought it might be.
Almost a steal.
It was on my list before, but I forgot I took it off.
It's got a cool groove, you'll hear. It's funny, it's sexy, it's Be My Lover.
I dig this one a lot, too.
And it's another song that ends about three times.
Yeah.
It stops, and then it stops again, and then it's not quite over.
Let's hear it.
Number 4. She struts into the room. Well, I don't know. Sort of look her over. We have a drink or two, well, maybe three. And then suddenly she starts telling me her life story. She says, baby, if you wanna be my lover, you better take me home.
He fooled me. I thought it was over. And then he went, ah!
Yeah, you think it's over like three times before it's finally over. So that little like tip-tap, the little tap-tap.
Click at the end, yeah.
The double stick little tap-tap at the end there.
Yeah, what is that?
That is...
Neil Smith.
Neil Smith. I was going to say, I'm going to say the wrong name, and then I'm going to sound like an idiot, and I'm going to feel like an idiot.
Too late.
That is Neil Smith twirling his drumsticks, kind of, again, before Ricky Rocket ever did.
Or Tommy Lee.
Doing that sort of, before Tommy Lee, doing that sort of classy, cheesy twirling of the drumsticks while you're playing thing. He would do that in the studio, not just on stage.
Yeah.
And Ezrin would apparently get really annoyed with him about it. And that take that is in the song is him twirling and fucking it up and dropping the sticks.
Yeah.
See, that little tap-tap is him dropping his sticks.
We're not re-recording this. We're just going to leave it in.
Yeah, that's...
They probably did that because they were so annoyed with him doing it.
Oh, yeah. It was probably punishment of like, you're going to keep doing it? Fine. It's in the song now. It's done. It's there.
But then most people don't realize that that's what it is. And like,
yeah, but
even covers, people try and replicate that sound.
Yeah. It...
That's funny.
It sounds like it's supposed become to be there.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So
another note, I think it's Michael Bruce wrote that song, I think. Mm-hmm.
Great songwriter.
Yeah, oh, very much, very much. That's the other thing, too, without going off on too much of a tangent, the Alice Cooper group songs sometimes didn't even have Alice Cooper as a songwriter. You know, that's one of those things we haven't really talked about and forget to talk about some of the songwriting here. Yeah, a lot of the other guys in the band were writing these songs, too. Like, Alice would have a hand in a lot of them. It's not like he didn't do anything. But some of the big hits, even, I want to say School's Out, for example.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I might be talking out of my ass here. But some of their bigger songs, even, Alice Cooper didn't have a hand in writing it. Michael Bruce wrote, or Neil Smith possibly wrote, or, you know, the other great songwriters in the band. It wasn't like it was just Vincent Furnier.
Vincent Furnier, dropping the name.
Zing, putting it in there.
I didn't know that's how you said the last name.
Yeah.
But I think I made an ass of myself in a previous episode where I said Furnier.
Furnier, yeah.
I probably did. I know.
How dare you?
So that song, Be My Lover, apparently if you listen back through to this episode now, go back and listen to the song again. The first verse is about their road manager's hot sister who showed up while they were recording, I think it was, one day. And was just apparently hot.
Just hanging out being hot.
And that's the whole, like, with a magnifying glance, I just sort of looked her over, yada, yada.
Is that the one where she said what?
No, the second half of the song is apparently about an old lady he met on a plane.
Yeah.
Who asked him what his deal was, basically. And I play guitar in a long-haired rock and roll band. She asked me why the singer's name was Alice. Listen, baby, you really wouldn't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So the second verse is apparently about an old lady on a plane. The first verse is about their tour manager's... gorgeous sister, and so it combines to, you don't know that it...
I never heard the part about the first verse. I knew about the second verse, but yeah, I never heard the story about the first verse before.
Why is the singer's name Alice?
That's a good old lady impression.
Oh, thank you. I was working on it before, just in case it came up.
That could be a future episode. Old lady songs.
Lots of Lawrence Welk.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be like 5 years for down the road when we completely exhausted all the other ideas. Amy, what's your number four?
My number four is from 1971.
Whoa.
Now we're talking.
Old school. This is from their third album, Love It to Death.
Yeah.
The first album that Bob Ezrin ever produced, actually.
Yeah. I love this record.
And the album that finally started getting them attention, because their first two albums, people were like, what are we listening to?
Well, they were so much more psychedelic.
Yeah, they were. And long songs.
Bob Ezrin gave them more focus. And like,
yeah, he retaught them how to play and write songs.
Yeah,
It was the difference between, just think of it like Bob Ezrin went on to produce Pink Floyd and, give me some more, Ben.
The Who.
Because I know you know The Who. Ezrin produced a lot of rock bands.
Yeah.
Their first two albums produced by...
Oh, Bob Ezrin also produced Kiss, by the way.
Yes,
Kiss
he did.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, Frank Zappa, yeah.
I was like,
but,
come on, finish it.
Well,
Frank Zappa.
I don't think he produced the second album.
Oh, didn't he?
Only the first one.
Okay. My bad again. But just that, I was just trying to make a point about the sound, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like, the first two albums they sound like Frank Zappa produced them. They're crazy like that. They're raw and...
weird.
Well, that's what he was going for, you know. Yeah. He wasn't interested in making them popular. He wanted to have weird acts on his label. And I remember reading about, hearing about, he wanted to have each song on a small vinyl disc and put them all in a tin and have the band change their name to Alice Cookies. So each disc was like a cookie, and they're like, we're not going to do that. That's ridiculous.
And they didn't.
They saw themselves as serious musicians.
Zappa's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is hysterical. Alice Cookies.
And that is so Zappa.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I don't know why they didn't stick with him after that, but.
Well, I think his album or his label got bought out by Warner Brothers.
Oh, I was making a joke because obviously they had other aspirations than being.
That's true. I think they enjoyed it though at the time.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow,
anyways,
Love It to Death.
Tangent. Love It to Death. Tangent. This song's called "Hallowed Be My Name." This has always been a favorite one of mine, and it never gets any attention from anyone. This is another one actually that Neil Smith wrote it. No one else contributed really. He said that it was kind of influenced by his religious upbringing.
Matt's incredulous right now, by the way.
It's like, what?
I'm just a little amazed. So many of your picks I would have never even thought to put on my list. Like, again, I had a list of 39 that I was whittling down, and most of your top 10 aren't in there. Aren't even in my top 39, which is weird to me that, like, we have such different... We're both such Alice Cooper fans, but we have such different aspects of Alice Cooper that
we
enjoy.
That's good. That helps out this show.
Got to be weird to be an Alice Cooper fan. Then I take a step further. I got to get weirder. So yeah, Hallowed Be My Name. Good song. I think deserves more attention than it gets.
All right. This is Amy's
like
number 4.
Like the attention we'll give it right
number
now.
Number 4.
Exactly. That is some 70s Alice right there.
That would be my name. I don't know if it's kind of quiet, but at the very beginning of the song, there's like somebody mumbling something.
Okay.
And it's actually the session engineer. I don't know why he said this, but he said, "Don't count your carps before they're hatched." I don't know what that has to do with anything. But
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
That's deep. That is deep.
It's very deep.
Nice. That's Amy's number 4. Matt Dinan is up. What is your number 3, sir?
Be My Lover. No, I'm kidding. I'm just that's actually taking up 3 spots. It's such a good song.
Wow.
Like, I put that as number 432. So we're just gonna listen to the multiple endings over and over and over again.
Sounds good. I'm okay with that.
No. Veto.
So we haven't delved too far into I don't know, the creepy storytelling aspect of Alice. Like, I had Wind Up Toy before, but...
It's got Steven in it.
What's that?
That one's the one that has Steven in it, right?
Exactly. And this is Steven right now, is what I'm trying to set up.
Oh, sorry.
Is the...
Reveal.
I don't know, you can't exactly call it the ultimate, because it's Welcome to My Nightmare. It's kind of the big song from Welcome to My Nightmare. And Only Women Bleed was the big single, who, if you're of a certain age, you probably know better than anybody... younger, if that makes any sense. Like,
that's the Alice Cooper song that you know more than any of.
Yeah, Only Women Bleed was a big, I mean, it was a top 10 hit.
Yeah.
Like, if you were like, whatever, between like 12 and 30 in 1975, you knew the song because it was a really popular song. He took it to, you know, he played it on Carson, I think, and the Muppet Show. You know, maybe he didn't play it on the Muppets. No, he played
Only Women Bleed. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. He did Welcome to My Nightmare with the Muppets, though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he did another song, and I can't think of what the second song is.
Was it You and Me? I think it was You and Me. He did it with...
I don't remember. He did something with Piggy, and I can't think of what song it was.
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
I was thinking Schools Out, too.
Nice.
But anyway, it was a popular tune, so you probably know it. But it has absolutely no, like, staying power. You know what I mean? Most people nowadays never heard of it. You play it, nothing. It gets no love, no classic rock radio play, Only Women Bleed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I'm talking about that one right now, exactly, except to say that those were the hits from Welcome to My Nightmare.
Yeah.
This, it's kind of the meat of the album, the song Steven, which doesn't get any radio play, and you might not even know unless you've seen him live, because it's you know, an album track, and it's not even... I can't say it's not a popular one, because it is. It's, I mean, if you're an Alice Cooper fan, it's hugely popular.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, if you're not an Alice Cooper fan, you've never heard of it, it's going to sound weird, and, you know...
It's pretty great, though.
I love how it ties in with the song right before it.
Yeah, and that's another one that really, you could play most of this album, they flow right in and out of each other. And here's another one too. If you're an Alice Cooper fan, go through sometime. And I'm not saying these aren't good songs, but take away Department of Youth and Some Folks. Just take them. You go to your iTunes, delete those two songs, and the whole thing plays through as the most kick-ass, creepy, seamless album. Hmm. Like, those two are good songs.
Well, one of these days, but they're like top 10 concept albums.
Okay.
Yeah. And
those two are like the Within You, Without You from Sgt. Pepper. Where everything's got a sound to it, and then suddenly you're like, whoa, what the hell? Indian style. And it's not a bad song necessarily, but it's completely different. It pops you out of the tone.
Yeah.
So similarly, if you take out those two songs, which are good songs in their own right, the whole album's got this great, like, flow to it, and it's just wonderful. Anyway, this is Steven, which also mainstay of the live show. Like, if you've ever seen Alice Cooper live, you know the song, because there's always great stuff going down on stage when Steven's on.
Great, like, creepy song.
And this is probably safe to say one of Alice's favorites.
If he's not fighting a cyclops, then something crazy's happening. You know, somebody's beheading him possibly, or he's getting grabbed by
madness.
Awesome. Grabbed by an evil nurse.
Let's hear it.
Number 3.
Calling me, I hear my name.
But if that's the way that God has planned you, I'll put pennies on your eyes. And it will go away. See? You've only lived a minute of your life. I must be dreaming.
Over the end, I apologize.
But how cool was that end? Or could have been that end if we didn't have somebody talking over it.
Seriously.
Sorry.
Ben brought to my mind as the song was on how much that piano part sounds like Halloween.
It does.
So I'm calling out John Carpenter now for ripping off Alice Cooper.
Carpenter!
Everybody rips Alice off.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Halloween being 1978, that being, of course, off Welcome to My Nightmare from 1975.
Interesting.
So Michael Myers can stuff it.
Oh, he'll stuff it.
But yeah, actually, there's a movie called God Bless America, which
I just saw that.
As did I. Which you should go look for because it's great. Find it. It should be on DVD soon. Strangely, directed by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
From comedian from the 80s. Oh,
World's Greatest Dad's pretty good. And, you know, he's had a few.
Oh, he's directed a couple things now. Yeah, yeah.
That were not stupid. Not like the horse movie, whatever that was. Hot to Trot,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Even Shanks the Clown had some good moments.
Oh, yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah.
But the movie's good anyway, but I was just bringing it up because there's a specific scene in it. There's three different Alice Cooper songs on the soundtrack.
Okay.
And there's a specific scene in the movie where the female lead is just jumping around, going on this frantic rant about how awesome Alice Cooper is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that.
It's great. It's hilarious. It's maybe a little overblown. Maybe a little?
A little bit, but
the
subject
matter
of the movie, it works.
Oh, no, I just mean because she basically gives Alice Cooper a credit for being everything. Like,
yeah.
He founded everything. Like, he taught Bowie how to cross-dress. Like, he invented punk, you know.
Yeah, maybe a little carried away.
Which, yeah, is a little carried away.
Pop goes, what?
Yeah. But at the same time, I think there's kind of a point to some of that.
Some of it.
I mean, definitely. Alice Cooper really was like the most out there, loud, crass, crazy. Like, you think about how big of a thing, a spectacle, whatever Marilyn Manson was in the mid-90s. And then think about the fact that this was the early 70s and nobody'd done that before. Like, there was no, like...
Screamin' Jay Hawkins used to come out of stage out of a coffin.
Okay.
He used to have... a skeleton, or it was a skull, I believe, that smoked cigarettes that he would sing to. It was like he had like a staff, and it had this little skull on the end of it. He called it Henry or something, and it would smoke cigarettes, and he would sing to it. This was the late 50s. So,
just some props to Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Yeah, definitely.
And me, yet again, being put in my place on this show.
Well, Alice Cooper was like the first major artist to...
do th- you know
to Kiss, that level of spectacle, maybe?
Yeah, you know, he upped the ante by a long shot, and Kiss totally was riding his coattails.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean,
completely, and Alice and Marilyn Manson completely stole his act, and you know, there's no doubt about all that stuff. So, you know, still mad props to Mr. Cooper. Still,
mad props.
Mad props.
Yeah. That's Matt's number three, and that was Steven.
Steven.
Amy, well, you're up.
And since Matt stole my original number three, which was Under My Wheels.
Burn.
I had to frantically choose between alternates, and I settled on another one from Love It to Death.
Okay.
Fun one called Long Way to Go. I don't know exactly what to say about this song, but it's a good rock song.
It's fun.
It's fun. I call everything fun. You know, if
hey, nothing wrong with fun.
Nothing wrong with fun, but it's just a good classic rock song, catchy. Okay. Yeah, puts you in a good mood.
All right,
I'm in a bad mood. So should I listen to this?
You should listen to this.
It'll
help. I guarantee.
It'll fix me right up.
For sure.
It's good for what ails you.
This is Amy's new number three, and it is, what's it called?
Long Way to Go.
Long way to go.
Number three.
That rocks.
It does. Good rock tune.
Once again, my favorite era of theirs. You know, the band era, when they got their shit together.
Band era is great.
With Bob Ezrin. And yeah, good stuff.
Possibly a little misleading because we don't have a long way to go because we're already down to number two.
Oh, no.
Segway. Very
segue.
Nice.
Way to go.
We're getting down there.
I'm not even on a stupid looking scooter.
Exactly. Matt Dinan, number two.
What is my number two? Well, what can I say about my number two? I guess we're taking a visit to Refrigerator Heaven.
That was almost on my list.
But it's not Refrigerator Heaven.
Wait.
Whoa.
I got her confused. Look at her. The gears are turning.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Guess.
This.
Is it?
There we go. Why don't you guess?
Cold Ethel?
Fine, be that way.
You're so cold.
Yes, this is. We're back again to Welcome to My Nightmare album. Again, a favorite of mine. This is probably the most rocking necrophilia song in existence.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't try to tell me the song's not about necrophilia.
Oh, it is.
Oh, no. The great thing about this song, the more I was thinking about it when I was trying to come up with these choices, I settled on this one being this high, partly because it encapsulates Alice Cooper in a way. Mm-hmm. Because it has a sense of humor. She ought to be, because Ethel's dead.
Yeah.
It's got jokes in it. You know, there's jokes. At the same time, it's got the Alice Cooper. So it's got the dark humor, but it's also kind of morbid. I mean, it's a song about necrophilia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, it's a very straightforward, kick-ass 70s rock song. Yes. So it hits all three bases somehow, which most of his songs don't try to get all three. Yep. Like, most of his songs do one or two. You know, this one manages all three, which is kind of unique in a way.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Well, I should have picked that. That was one of my alternates. I could have stolen one of your songs.
Could have, would have, should have.
Oh, well.
So what are your thoughts on Cold Ethel?
I agree. It hits all three bases. It's just a good, makes me want to learn how to play guitar so I can play it.
I think Slash said the same thing.
Is that true?
Probably.
Well, no, but he is a huge fan, actually.
That makes sense. That makes total sense.
He's gone on before about Welcome to My Nightmare being one of his favorite albums. And being able to just, you can kick back and play along with that anytime. High quote.
Nice quote. All right, let's hear it. This is Cold Ethel. That's number two.
Number two.
Cause you're
Oops. Yeah. Ooh, so cold.
So cold.
Yeah, we were considering throwing the mics on during that part, and we all sing along. But
didn't want to scare any people away.
Better judgment prevented it from happening.
Yeah, better.
Quote unquote, better. That's Matt's number two. That's called Ethel.
So excellent choice, Matt.
Why, thank you. Why, thank you.
Amy, you're up. What's
my number two?
Yes.
Is from Billion Dollar Babies.
Excellent choice.
Excellent
I don't even
album.
Know what it is, but every song on that album is
it
awesome.
It is. So. That's their only album that ever made it to number one. So,
so excellent choice.
Definitely an excellent album.
Yeah.
Raped and Freezing.
Oh, my God.
I think the title kind of says it all.
Oh, my dear
It's a
Lord.
Good one. Yeah, yeah. It's funny, too. This just came up the other day. I'm going to say Tony, and he's going to be like, but no, it just came up because he didn't know the song.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, it's called Raped and Freezing. What?
I don't know this one either. Is this another necrophilia one?
No, it's not, actually. No one dies.
No, yeah, not at all. It's
Just because they're freezing doesn't mean they're dead.
They're cold, though.
They're cold.
You figure they're cold, freezing, they're...
Like stranded in the desert freezing, not
yeah,
in the
with no clothes.
Freezing.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. It's a...
that's no picnic.
I can't remember who. I saw a quote. Somebody said it was a hilarious and gorgeously catchy take on the idea of sexual harassment. And I agree with that.
And getting dumped by hitchhikers.
Yeah.
There is nothing more hilarious than sexual harassment.
Not at all. It's one of the funniest things ever.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. All right, shall I?
Go for it.
Raped and Freezing. Amy's number two.
Number two.
Finally got a ride this old road down from Santa Fe. She was a real go-getter. She draws so sweetly. Think, child, the things will get better. We pulled off the highway. Night black is a widow. Yeah, I read the Bible, she said.
I brought my heart. Awesome.
We're back on the
air.
Oh,
we are.
We were too busy rocking out
we're
to the...
excited.
What was that at the end? That was nuts.
A little south of the border flavor.
I guess. Raped and freezing. That's disturbing. It's disturbing to see Amy sing along to She has such a sweet little innocent looking face. And raped and freezing. It's bizarre, to say the least. But that's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
I'm not here to judge.
I'm okay with the bizarre factor.
Are you saying the innocence belies her thigh-high leopard print boots?
I had to go with the Alice boots today.
Good Lord.
No better reason to
wear them.
We got to find a way to take a wider show when we do the picture for the...
Yeah.
For the podcast page, you need to stick your leg up in the shot or something to show off the boots.
Look for that at alltimetop10.podomatic.com, by the way.
Plug.
Little plug.
Yeah. For nothing else, just check out the boots.
Exactly. We'll just have a picture of boots. Matt Dunnan, that's your number one.
Oh, boy.
I can't.
We're here.
I can't do it. There's no number one that's proper.
Oh.
There's none.
None more proper. What? That didn't make any sense.
More black?
No, none more black. What is it?
Well, okay, I just... partly because I just felt like hit or no hit, popular, not popular, whatever, it just is like the... And again, what were we ripping on in Schools Out on mic before or off mic? I don't really remember.
I like Schools Out.
I think it was off mic.
It was off mic.
Well, we were tearing up Schools Out a little bit just because it didn't seem like either of us were putting on our list. Well, you never know. So Amy's got one more song. Could be.
I see some chickens being counted. You better knock that off.
I will quit talking altogether then. No, we were just saying that it's a little overplayed. It's, everybody knows it. It's so famous. And so a lot of our picks, as you can hear, as you've been listening, have been a little more varied than that.
Especially on the Amy side.
Not your run-of-the-mill.
On the Amy side. Anyway.
For number one, because it just seemed fitting, I'm going back to basics. Back to what is probably the ultimate Alice Cooper song to a lot of people, and one of the only ones most people know.
Can I guess? 18?
18?
I'm 18.
I'm 18.
I'm 18.
I'm not 18.
Yeah, it's just...
No, I haven't been 18 for a long time, but... I can still relate to this song, though.
It's not creepy. It's not weird. It's just
It's just a great song.
Yeah. It's just, you can't be a teenager and not listen to this and get it.
Yeah.
And just feel like,
I completely,
this song. Like, I understand where this guy was coming from when he wrote this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of a lot of his stuff. And the hits, I know more of the hits than the other stuff. And I was really hoping someone would play this one.
Because you kind of have to. It's just that good.
And it's not I'm edgy.
That's right. That's right.
Bob Ezrin, first time he heard them playing this song, saw them live, and it's like, oh, that's a great song you have. I'm edgy. We don't have a song called I'm edgy.
He apparently saw them somewhere, I think, on the Strip. And came up to them afterwards and was like...
It was in New York.
Oh, never mind.
I think it was at... Was that Max's Kansas City?
Max's Kansas City.
It was.
You are right again. And was like, hey, I want to produce you guys. And they were talking about getting together and doing, And he said, yeah, my favorite was that I'm edgy song. I'm edgy. Because they were that loud and crass of a band. You just didn't even know what they were saying at the time.
That would have been terrible. I'm so glad that they didn't actually go with that. They'd be like, no, the song's called I'm 18. No. You gotta change it. I'm edgy. That's what I heard in my head. It's great. No. Anyway.
No.
Yeah.
Matt's number one. I'm 18.
Number one. Thank you.
He loves his fake endings, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He likes tricking people.
And he likes it. He's 18 and he likes it.
That just sounds like lying on your back in your bedroom at 16, staring up at the ceiling, being like...
Yeah.
Doesn't it? I don't know. That's what it sounds to me.
No, it's, like, it's the perfect
I hear that song and I just feel like I'm bored and angst-ridden and laying on the floor in my bedroom just staring at the ceiling, being pissed off about everything. It's the perfect adolescent anthem. You know?
Yeah. The lyrics, I mean, it's just, yeah.
Easy to relate to.
Yeah. Baby's brain and an old man's heart.
I actually woke up to that song on the day I turned 18. I said my thing.
Nice.
Yeah. I listened to that all day the day I turned 18.
Because I just thought I have to. That has to be the song I wake up to.
Then the day before I turned 19, I listened to it all day. I was like, last time I can.
I won't get it as much tomorrow.
That's awesome. Matt Dunn's number one. Amy, you are up.
My number one. All right.
Here we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
From Welcome to My Nightmare.
Whoa!
This song has just been... The first time I discovered Alice Cooper, I listened to Welcome to My Nightmare. I saw him on a commercial, and I was like, who's that? My mom had Welcome to My Nightmare and a couple other albums. She gave me, because he was singing Welcome to My Nightmare on the commercial, she gave me this. She's like, here, you can listen to this. So I listened to the album like 3 times in a row, just sitting in front of the record player. And this song, it just grabbed me right away, and it's been one that I have loved ever since. And,
So you got to hear Welcome to My Nightmare the first time. That's your first Alice Cooper exposure? By
yes,
record, even?
By record.
Wow.
And I had cool. to, when the new album came out, when Welcome to My Nightmare came out, I replicated. I had to get the vinyl version of it the day it came out. I sat in the exact same spot on the floor.
Nice.
Listened to the original first, then listened to the second one, and it was great. But even though you said you should take this out when you listen to it on iTunes.
Oh.
Some folks. Just such a good, catchy song.
Okay.
Got the finger snaps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like a Busby Berkeley musical number.
It grabbed my 7-year-old heart.
And it squeezed.
It squeezed and would not let go.
Some folks.
Yeah, some folks.
Yeah, I know this one.
And like I was saying before, it's not that I don't like some folks. I think it's awesome. It's
doesn't
great.
Fit
I
in with the
awesome.
Narrative.
But just, yeah, awesome. There's those two songs that kind of break from the rest of the flow. Not flow, the feel, the tone of the rest of the album. So I'm not saying bad, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You take those two out and it's really got like one story, like ooh, one feel to it.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I can see that.
But some folks, as a single or by itself, great song.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, let's hear it. Amy Wallace's number one Alice Cooper song of all time.
Some folks.
Yeah.
Number one.
Some folks love to see red. Some folks never talk about it. Some folks crave a blue lady. Some folks know, still they doubt it. I'm just no good without it. I'm not a man at all. It makes my skin crawl. Up every morning. Some folks live for no reason. Some folks die without a warning.
Cha, cha, yeah.
Baby.
Some folks.
I love that song.
I do too.
Yep. Good choice. And it's Amy's number one. Well, you guys didn't play. There's a bunch of songs that I would have liked.
There's so many.
I know, there's so many.
So, many songs.
So I'm gonna give myself a pick here because I'm selfish like that.
Ben's stepping in.
I'm stepping in.
Laying down the law.
That's right. You guys missed. I know you talked shit about it earlier. I don't care. I want to hear "Schools Out."
It's a good song.
It's a rock.
I'm really not trying to make it sound like I don't like it. Just that, again, it's kind of overplayed to me.
Yeah. You know. But you could say the same thing about "I'm 18" too.
To a lesser extent, like "Schools Out," you hear a lot more on the radio.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's worthy, and I'm going to play it right now.
No.
This is my pick from Alice Cooper. This is "Schools Out." So deal with it. Thank you. That's right. School is out, and that is my pick. I had to have a lot more that I would have liked to hear, but
like what?
Well, you give us.
What else would you have liked to have heard?
Well, you tell me what you have as alternates.
Oh, I see. It's a you show me mine, I'll show you yours kind of thing.
Exactly.
Well, then let me unzip.
Oh, my God. Matt Dina, what are your alternates?
I had so many, again, that I wish I could have played. But five that I brought as alternates.
Yes, let's just do
that. As
those.
My backups, as just-in-case songs that any of them could have been my number 10. They are all of that level of quality.
Okay.
Poison.
Mm. Yeah.
The, you know, if you're of a certain age, that's probably the song you know Alice Cooper for the most, if you're not a fan at all, because you heard that every 10 minutes in 1989, you know.
Yep.
It was big hit for him. I've got Billion Dollar Babies, of course, the
excellent
title track to the album, Billion Dollar Babies, which is just, it pisses me off kind of that didn't make the list at all. Like, somebody should have put that on her list. I'm crying.
Blame me.
You said her. I think you're giving away who you're talking about when you said.
I know. What? What are you talking about? That one I wish I could have got. Generation Landslide, also from the Billion Dollar Babies album.
Love that
so
one.
Good. So good, but just didn't quite make the list. Dead Babies.
Yeah.
Kick ass song.
They can't. What was it?
Can't
it's
take care
a hard
of themselves.
That's true.
It's a rough, I mean, it's a gritty kind of song. And another one that people just don't listen to the lyrics of, because it's actually an anti-child abuse song.
Yeah.
But when the chorus is, dead babies!
That's all you're going to pay attention to.
That's all
to.
You hear.
Yeah.
Nobody hears anything except, dead babies!
Well, it's a pretty...
And whoa! And it shocks your ears even the first time you hear it. Like, if you don't know how it's...
Yep.
Don't know what's coming. And then my last alternate was going to be one that I could yammer on a bit about Alice Cooper and his theatricality, because it's I'm Always Chasing Rainbows, popularized by Judy Garland. It is a cover. Alice Cooper sings I'm Always Chasing Rainbows. It's so
sad we didn't get
killer.
To hear that one.
Yeah, look that song up. You'll go nuts for it. It's so sad.
I love his version of it, though.
Yeah.
I think it's the best version.
And agreed.
I'm not biased.
Not at all.
Should I get Judy Garland? Amy, what are your alternates?
My alternates, all right, so I had to pick one of them. Another alternate I had was Cold Ethel, which we did get to hear. Is It My Body, also off of Love It to Death.
Yeah.
Great,
one.
Fun one. Nobody Likes Me, which is a demo that they released on the 1999 box set. Fun one, and it's one they used to do in the late 60s for the stage shows. They would set up like a window or a door, and Alice would sing this song out of the window as like a kid whose friends, you know, he feels like his friends don't like him. It's a fun one, and it's almost got like an Alice Cooper polka in the middle because there's an accordion. It's weird. Refrigerator Heaven,
nice,
fun
nice.
One. That's I always heard that they wrote that song after they heard that Walt Disney had been cryogenically frozen.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that's true or not. Then the last two alternates I had, this.
Oh, she's struggling.
I really want to put this one in here, but it's just, it's from, the Good to See You Again, Alice Cooper, concert DVD. They do
really?
A version of Lady is a Tramp.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just
the very
so,
beginning of the movie
at the very beginning. And it's just so fun. And then they get there and he goes, what is this? Why are we doing this? You know, why am I singing this song? And it's fun to hear him sing that. And then My mom is going to be mad at me that I didn't use this as my alternate, but it's not a song. It's a spoken word piece called Is There a Santa? And Alice gets into all these scientific facts about, you know, like the speed the sleigh would have to travel and how many reindeer you'd have to have pulling the sleigh. And like it's hilarious, but it's
That's
not a
terrible.
Song. It's funny.
Okay. I think it's okay that didn't make the list.
Yeah. But
with apologies to Amy's mom.
She made me put it on my alternate list. But
at least you got a mention.
It
I hope
did.
That's good enough.
But yeah, I started with 55 songs and I had to narrow it down a lot. It was hard. It hurt.
I started with 39. I could have easily done this show with 39 picks and been like completely happy with all of them, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we'd still be here tomorrow, which I have to go to work, so I don't think that's going to work out for me.
We'll stay here.
Yeah, there you go. We'll continue on. We will soldier on without you.
24-hour Cooperthon.
Colin Cooper.
Colin Cooper.
Like tomorrow, like, I got up and there was just there were some billion-dollar babies in my bed, and I'm feeling refrigerator heavened, and I just, I'm not going to make it into work today, because I'm raped and freezing.
That's tough. So. I had a couple of songs that myself that I was hoping to hear.
Oh, but you didn't.
But I did not hear.
Because of our eclecticness?
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. Ballad of Dwight Fry, which did get played on a previous episode.
As I mentioned, the only reason that's not on, I love that song.
Yeah.
I ditched that song out of my top 10 only because I remembered that you had played that about 3 episodes ago.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason that's not on, because that is an awesome song.
Top 10 songs about madness. That was my number one, actually. I also like, what's that one? Elected's good.
We didn't play Elected.
Mm. Yeah.
Man, we missed another big hit.
Yep. I Love the Dead.
I Love the Dead is great, which also was almost on my list, but I didn't want to put 2 necrophilia songs.
Yeah, that might make you seem a little creepy.
Yeah, maybe.
That's true.
Hey, I'm Matt, and I've come up with my top 10 necrophilia songs. It has nothing to do with any interest I may or may not have with corpses at all. Nothing like that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just they happen to be good songs. And
I also would have liked to hear You and Me. Which is a good one. And how you gonna see me now?
Going for the ballads.
Yeah.
How you gonna
good stuff. And only
I'm
women.
I'm not gonna sing it along.
And only women bleed would have been.
And only women bleed.
Would have
sure.
been nice. You
we
know.
Didn't have any ballads, did we?
Steven. We just,
oh, that's true.
That counts. But that would have if I would have stepped in more than I did.
Well, and right there's a couple that if we were doing like popular. Or if we were doing the hits, those would all have been in there. If we were slightly less hardcore Alice Cooper fans, those would have made the list.
Yeah,
but we're too hardcore that we don't like the hardcore. We don't like the famous ones as much. Unless you leave hardcore.
Exactly.
And the legend of the Rent
was way hardcore.
It was way hardcore.
All right, so
it is going to turn into a karaoke show.
Maybe some other time. So that's our show. I have to. Pick a winner now, I guess. I don't know. I was thinking about...
We never really got criteria, did we?
No, not really.
I kept that secret, which it's not true. I'm just making it up right now, actually.
I call Matt, shenanigans.
Matt gets a point for stealing one of Amy's.
Aha! Uh-huh. Steal and point.
Steal point. Amy gets a point for having just the most eclectic playlist. Just like, what the fuck?
I'm good at that.
Yep. And so it's a tie. There you go.
Hey, I had a song he didn't know about.
Oh, shoot.
This is true.
Okay. Amy's the winner.
Yay!
How can you call yourself a diehard fan if she played a song you didn't know about? You lose.
And
you get
silence.
Nothing. Good
in
day,
your
sir.
Face.
Fine. Okay.
That's right.
I'll try to take it like a woman. Kicked around.
Oh my god.
Burn it down. Mess up the lyrics.
Good list, you guys. Good lists.
Newer song you see.
Good lists, both of y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh.
I'm going to go sulk.
If it makes you feel better, she doesn't win anything. So.
Aha! It doesn't really make me feel better.
Oh, damn. I'm sorry.
Well, shouldn't there be a prize that maybe.
Have some more iced tea, you'll feel better.
Maybe there's a prize she should get that she could then share with me?
I'll think about it.
She get like a pet spider.
Oh,
why is there not a tarantula in the studio
right
now?
Tarantula.
A snake. Where are the snakes
yeah,
and spiders?
Come on.
Well,
how can we do an Alice Cooper show with no 9-foot python?
I suck. I'm so sorry. Anyhow, that is our show. And thanks again to you guys. Next week on All Time Top 10, we are going to do Top 10 Rock Drummers.
Oh.
My good buddy Dustin Prince is a rock drummer himself. And is a big fan of all things drummers, and I love me some rock drummers too. So,
well, go re-listen to the song "Billion Dollar Babies" if you're still making up your list.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I don't know that should. Yeah, Mr. Smith should probably get a spot on here.
Halo Flies.
And you know, interestingly enough, as well, he famous story again used to call up Keith Moon, ask how many drums Keith Moon had, and then go buy one more.
Urban myth.
Oh, is it?
Not true.
I've seen Alice Cooper
said
say
it.
That.
Oh, Neil said it's not true.
Really?
Well,
no.
Of course he's going to say that because that's really embarrassing.
I don't know.
But I think it's funny.
It's a good story.
Yeah. I wonder then, maybe Alice is just remembering shit wrong or making stories
well,
up.
Well, anyhow, next week, rock drummers, listen up. You can check it out every Sunday. We're here at 5 p.m. killradio.org. There is a podcast homepage, which is alltimetop10.podomatic.com. This episode will be there tomorrow morning. And it'll be all nice and shiny and fun. And we also are on the Facebooks and the Twitters and all that good stuff. And do you guys have anything else to add? Matt, what's your latest project? Anything to...
I'm finishing two music videos right now and doing a comic book podcast.
That's right. Matt and Kat have back issues.
Yeah. In fact, when we started this, I almost said, I'm Matt, and that's Kat. And then I looked and it was Amy. It wasn't Kat.
Yeah, Matt does a comic book podcast called Matt and Kat Have Back Issues. And you can find that at what's the website?
MattandKatHaveBackIssues.com.
Okay.
Easy to remember.
Amy? Any pluggaroos?
Not really.
She's just hanging out.
Just hanging out, you know.
Hanging out with your boots.
Yeah, you got to go on the website, check out my boots, and yeah. since I ditched my dad, I'm going to say Happy Father's Day to him.
Happy Father's Day to my father.
He influenced my music taste, so.
There you go.
Which is super cool.
Yeah.
And it's super cool that you ditched it too.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, that's our show, everyone. Thanks for listening, and until next time, peace out.
Check out more episodes at www.alltimetop10.podomatic.com. Follow us at alltimetop10 on Twitter and like us on Facebook. New episodes every Sunday at killradio.org. To my